The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Welcome to Pointing You Home, your number one local real estate news resource. Today's Veterans Day. And tomorrow is the observed day for the federal government. In our local news, each year on Veterans Day, a color guard, noted speakers, and wreath-laying observances begin at 1 p.m. at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. This year marks the 25th anniversary of the dedication of the Vietnam Women's Memorial, complete with a series of commemorative events on November 10th and 11th. So, seeing as today is Sunday, November the 11th, today between 9 and 10 and 12 p.m., rather, there will be storytelling at the Vietnam Women's Memorial in their own words. At 1 p.m., there will be a Veterans Day ceremony at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. Following the ceremony at the wall, approximately 2:30 p.m., there will be a group picture at the Vietnam Women's Memorial. So, if you're listening today and you qualify, please go. And all of us who have time today, go and celebrate these wonderful men and women who've served our country. Over at Arlington National Cemetery, the gravestones at this National Military Cemetery, which has been open for over 150 years, are an impactful lesson of the true costs of war. Walk the paths of this historic park or attend the time-honored memorial ceremony. You may not know this, but each year on Veterans Day, a prelude concert begins in the memorial amphitheater at 10:30 in the morning. That's tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. in the Memorial Amphitheater. It's followed by a wreath-laying ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at 11 a.m. and an observance program in the amphitheater. The Women's Memorial resides at the gateway to the Arlington National Cemetery and is the only major national memorial to honor women that have defended the U.S. during all eras in all services. The annual Veterans Day observance at the memorial includes formal military honors, a keynote address, veterans' remarks, and a wreath lane. And over at the National World War II Memorial, the National World War II Memorial is an expansive stone, bronze, and water memorial on the National Mall at 17th Street and Constitution Avenue. I've been there many times. Each time I go, I just see something different. I understand something different. I meet somebody different. And the memorial honors the 16 million men and women who served and the 400,000 who lost their lives during World War II. The majestic space is perfect for a Veterans Day visit. I highly recommend it, and it's especially beautiful during sunset and under moonlight. This year, Veterans Day observances at the memorial begin at 9 a.m. So, some other options. George Washington's Mount Vernon Estate is open. And if you're a retired military, you'll get free admission on Veterans Day to experience special programming. Smithsonian National Museum of the American History has special features there, as well as other museums in town. So other notable events coming up this week, looking out in Montgomery County, they have a Thanksgiving parade on November 17th at 10 a.m. If you're interested in seeing a beautiful parade with giant turkeys, glittering floats, fire engines, performing dog and rescue animal groups and whatnot, consider go to silverspringdowntown.com for more info. So I've got a question. One of our listeners sent me a question that he wanted to know the answer to. He's a past client of mine, sold his father and mother's house probably 7 or 8 years ago in Annandale. "I have a question for your show," he said. As we contemplate a move to Florida 2 to 3 years down the road, we are wondering how to check out a neighborhood. I would not want to spend $500,000 on my retirement home only to find out that Elmer the redneck lives next door with barking dogs, frequent loud parties, etc. How do you suggest that a person check out the potential neighbors when considering a home? The sound of teens bouncing basketballs, constantly dogs barking, loud music being played on the patio, and frequent parties, drunk people talking loud late at night, etc., that would really bother me. Have you ever addressed this? if you do cover it on a show, please let me know so I will not sleep in. So I told him I'll be talking about this on every show from now on. So that way he'll never sleep in. So we just started attending a new church, he admits. Okay, that does not meet until 10:30, so I don't get up at 6:30 a.m. anymore naturally. I've not joined the worship group yet, so we don't have to get there too early. Thanks for thinking of me. All right, so he wants to listen is what he's saying, but he's not forced to get up, so it's a little harder. I understand. I tell people I'm not sure I would get up to listen to me either, but I'm grateful when you all do. Thank you. So that question comes from a guy named Bill. So, Bill, I think every fear that a buyer has is that they're going to buy the wrong house. They're going to move in and the Hell's Angels will be next door. You know, if you're listening and you're a Hell's Angel, I want you to understand I only said that with the most respect. So, we don't want to move into a problem. Like you said, there's a lot of friction getting in and out of a house. It's not like trading a stock where you push a button. There's a lot of cost, a lot of time, a lot of emotional heartache going through getting out of a house. In the same way, there's a lot of effort to get into one these days. So you want to do it right. Number one thing I suggest, if you're a buyer and you're really serious about a house, don't be afraid to go knock on the neighbor's doors around the house that you're interested in. And I'm not talking about just to the left and to the right and across the street, but also directly behind the property. Because remember, anybody, if you don't like dogs and you don't want to have the sound of dogs, you need to spend a little bit of time outside of that house at kind of odd times of the day. Come park the car, leave the windows open, and just kind of hang out and listen to the sounds of the neighborhood as it gets darker on that street. You want to avoid problems. Maybe you want to care for your family by protecting them from sexual predators. Well, certainly you want to do the research before you purchase, okay? And you can do that. Databases abound across the country and jurisdictions so that you can search out and find out if there's any issue on the street in the area that you're interested in. Okay? So one more suggestion on this is think about that timing and just expand your horizon a little bit. Let's think about what happens in the area where you live now. There are different sounds based on different days, right? During the daytime where I live, there's a lot of kids that are playing outside nearby because there's a school not too far and there's a park not too far. Okay. So at nighttime, those sounds aren't there. But what is there? That's where you can see maybe in the evening and maybe in the morning, just kind of come down, just park yourself and listen for 15 minutes. You can learn a lot just by simply opening the windows and listening to what's going on and looking around. Be a snoop on the front end a little bit and you won't have to be a snoop on the back end, right? Just my advice. Thanks, Bill, for the question. I appreciate you asking it. There's a Washington Construction report. Did you know that there's actually a report that, you know, that comes out? You hear maybe a quote or two, but this report is fascinating in that it analyzes the percentage change in non-residential and residential building in downtown Washington, D.C., as well as Arlington, Clark, District of Columbia, Fairfax, Fauquier, Frederick, Jefferson, Loudoun, Montgomery, Prince George's, you get it. So the whole region of Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, and Montgomery County, PG County. So this area. So this is all of that, not just D.C., has seen a non-residential slump in new construction of 29% change from $617 million in construction in 2017 to only $441 million in 2018. But conversely, we've seen a 42% increase in residential building. Now, I will say, I think this is good news because there's plenty of vacancies that I see at shopping centers around Rockville and even in Potomac and in McLean and in Arlington, I think we all see vacancies. It seems like kind of odd. Well, why is that? Well, because a lot of business is done on the internet these days. I think a lot of shops where you would have had a little shop that did this or did that, it's not necessary to have a physical shop. So building more commercial space like that isn't needed right now. Now, it probably will as the overall population grows, it will become needed and those will reoccupy with new businesses. You've got so much need right now, such a shortage of supply for homes, for housing, that this increase 42% increase year over year from 2017 to 18 is excellent. So I'm glad that we have that. Okay, so if we think about the analytics and figuring out overall directions, and you say, well, if you've got 100 million more in terms of dollars, you have 100 million more in value of dollars across the metro area, does that mean the market's going to be soft? Does that mean the market's going to go up? I don't really know how to interpret that. So the way I would interpret it is you're looking at inventory right now being tight. You've got lower lows and lower highs in inventory across the metropolitan area from 2013 until now. That's very bullish, very bullish. And at some point, the inventory drives into the ground and the demand for people who have to get in a home becomes desperate, which then drives prices higher by significant amounts. And once that engine goes, you see it in San Francisco and Seattle. We just haven't seen it here. We saw it here, from 1985 to 1990, when I got into real estate, I saw it in that window. We were in a doubling. And then between 1999 and 2007, we saw a tripling, right? If you were around, you remember, it seemed like houses just kept going up, and then finally there was a crash. We have been muddling along with tighter inventory for a while now. Now, will it happen next spring? I think prices will go up. I think you'll see prices up 3, 4, maybe 5, maybe 6 or 7%. It's possible. It just depends on how the development of that happens, whether or not we actually get to like zero inventory in certain areas, at which point people will pounce in irrational ways to buy real estate. Okay, so I want you to know that as a team, we work on qualifying everybody that comes into us. Every buyer comes in, and we go through really qualifying in three specific directions so that we know how to understand what they want, how to serve them, and how to protect our clients if they're interested in their listings. Find out how when we get back.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
So how do you qualify a prospect in the real estate business and effectively avoid problem buyers? And this is, first of all, the agent's job, right? If you have an agent who's representing you to sell your property, you want somebody who's going to protect you from the vagrant buyer who comes in promising things that they cannot keep, right? So in as much as we want to do that, there are times when buyers get through and do things that are wrong and commit fraud and, you know, that kind of thing. When there's times when buyers lose their jobs and that kind of thing. But the majority of the time, this very simple formula for helping understand a buyer will help you know whether you can help them or not when you're a real estate agent. First of all, there's money. You have to know that as a buyer, you have to know that you're going to be analyzed financially, whether your capability is intact, not only in how much money you put down to get the mortgage, but in your qualifications of income to support paying a mortgage over a long period of time. So we'll start with that. And just think of it as money is the number one question. As an agent, that's the first thing I really want to find out from a prospect is how much capability they have. I won't always start there to get there, but that's what I really am driving for, to know how best I can serve them. I can pre-qualify somebody in my mind just by knowing what their income is and their assets. I can tell them exactly what they could purchase just by memorizing the tables for what the cost for money is, and then just doing some simple math in my head. So money is critical. You need to understand where their money is. What else? You need motivation.
Tell me why you cry.
You need to know why. What is the reason that they're purchasing? Okay. When I have an open house, which I do occasionally, though, as you know, I'm not a big believer in open houses. We do them. Sometimes our sellers really want an open house. And sometimes we think, this is probably a good house for an open house because getting people into it is too difficult normally. So this is a facilitator, and we'll bring extra agents in to protect the property. Okay, you get the idea. So to find the motivation, though, a buyer comes in. Now, I want you to pretend a scenario, because we're analyzing as real estate agents who's walking in the door, and we're looking, trying to be alert to understand situations based on a variety of factors. It's how the person presents themselves, what they say, right, and what they write down, and what evidence they can provide. So those four pieces will give me a sense of who the person is, and I'll draw out of them motivation. Sometimes it's as obvious as she's 9 months pregnant, okay, and two little kids are walking behind and they're in a one-bedroom condo, right? And we have to move, right? So sometimes it's just as plain and right out there as that. Sometimes it's, we're not really sure. We've been renting for a while. We think this might be a good time to buy. And we really would like more space. So for me to drill in and find out. So how do you see yourself living? Give me your dreams. What does it look like? And eventually they open up and say, well, we really would like to entertain our friends on a patio. Oh, okay. So I just got a visual for these folks would like to be able to walk out, most likely walk out off their kitchen level to a patio, and they would serve their friends in and out of that space. Now I've got an idea of the kind of house. I might requalify that and say, okay, does that mean you prefer no walkout basements because you don't want to have to go down all the way to the basement to get to the patio, or are you open to that? Right now, I understand if they say yes or no, I understand which way to go with that. So now I'm qualifying. They're not that motivated to do something immediately, but being a professional realtor, I got to keep my eyes open, be aware of what is inventory so that if there's something that they don't get through their normal feed, daily feed of anything that sort of meets the base criteria like price, bedrooms, bathrooms, school district, or whatnot that they decide is important to them, we feed that information to them on a daily basis. Now, this is so the buyers always know what's available. But sometimes houses are not described correctly by the listing agents. They'll choose a word to describe, or they won't include a bathroom when there is one. Sometimes there's a bedroom lacking and it should be there. I have, after 31 years, I've gone and taken listings from agents that while I'm sitting there talking with the seller, and the seller says, I don't understand why we're not selling this house. It turns out that the agent, I'm looking at the listing, and instead of it being a five-bedroom house, it's a four-bedroom house. Not only that, but the fifth bedroom was on the first floor, and they missed it. You get it? So big loss of value based on poor representation, all right? So digging in, helping to understand their motivation, it helps them understand. Sometimes just talking with them, he gets a better idea of what she really wants, and she does the same, or vice versa, right? And then lastly, we've got timing.
Oh, you need timing.
Which, with that couple I just mentioned, they didn't really know, they didn't really have a specific time. They just have a desire for a lifestyle they'd like to live. So getting them prepared for that is maybe getting them qualified if they don't already have a lender, helping to warm up that motivation to focus on the market that we have, especially with what I said earlier in the show about the market. I think prices are going higher. I think they're going to go higher, and I think it's likely that they're going to go higher over the next couple of years in spite of interest rates. You have that little candle underneath the buyer, okay, in my mind, if they're starting to believe this. And not every buyer believes this. A lot of buyers think, no, the prices aren't going to go higher. But, okay, so we may disagree on that. I'm optimistic. They may be pessimistic. But for me to bring them along and convert them to my thinking about it, I'll present all my charts and say, look, this is why. And they'll go, oh, wow, that makes a lot of sense. These are the same charts that I present at my Top Dollar seminar, which we're going to hold in Chevy Chase, Maryland in December. If you're interested in registering for that, please go to ericstewartgroup.com and register there. It's free. It's an hour presentation, and I'll give you the backbone of what I'm telling you right now. You'll see it visually. You'll be able to take that information and understand very clearly how important the timing is. And we'll discuss what improvements will make you more money when you sell. We'll talk about questions you can ask a realtor before you hire one, things like that. Just that will be very practical, and it will help you along. Go to ericstewartgroup.com and register there. We'll have one in D.C. as well. So if you're interested, register at ericstewartgroup.com. So that timing, sort of in closing on this section, the timing is sometimes 60 days, 2 weeks. Sometimes it's 9 months. Sometimes it's 2 years. The point is that as an agent, it's my job to bring that person through a process of helping them evaluate and make decisions, clarifying their thinking so that they're ready, willing, and able to purchase when the time is right for them. I finally found something I'm good at. We have just had a phenomenal year this year at the Eric Stewart Group, and I am very happy to have veterans in my group. We have a new one. Her name is Maria. And Maria is a retired Army commander, and we are grateful that she has joined us and become a part of the Eric Stewart Group as our closing coordinator. So her job, and she's had, I think I've got this right, 3 of her 5 kids have gone through West Point. So, hooyah! Good job, Maria. We respect her. We appreciate her diligence. And like all vets, we want to say thank you to our vets for serving our country. In just a minute, I have the privilege of interviewing my own father, who was in the Korean War, a bit about his time there, decisions he made to get into medicine, and we'll also discuss a little bit about how mom and dad made decisions to let go of all the stuff that they own. Anybody relate to that? Yeah, I know. I do. I still got a lot of time ahead of me, but it seems like I'm always chasing that dream of getting everything just so. So he'll tell you a little bit about how they walked through that process 3 times, in fact. Yeah. This is the Appointing Your Home Show. I'm Eric Stewart, your host every Sunday from 8 to 8:30. And we try to bring you lively entertainment through the real estate model, talking about our practice and problems we've had, successes we've had. Also bring you interesting information about relevant events like we did earlier in the show where we talked about today's Veterans Day events that are going to happen today and tomorrow. So that about wraps it up for Pointing You Home. It's been a pleasure, as always, to be with you. Thank you for joining me. I'm Eric Stewart with the Eric Stewart Group of Long & Foster.
The Eric Stewart Show, Pointing You Home on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.